Let's move on to our geo quiz now. Dragon blood trees and wild pomegranates figure in today's geo quiz. They're just a sample of the flora unique to the islands we're looking for. These islands off Yemen are sometimes described as the Galapagos of the Middle East. You can see dragon blood trees dotting the landscape. Their bark produces a resin that's been sought after for centuries.
And this red resin is so deeply red. The color is so perfect for blood that people use this pigment for paintings in the 16th century.
Next time you gaze at a 16th century painting, just think, it's possible the red pigment you see may have come from the bark of a dragon blood tree. Now see if you can figure out where this sought-after tree grows. The answer is coming up in just a bit. So where would you find dragon blood trees and Galapagos-like islands in the Arabian Sea? Let's turn to Kay Van Dam for the answer. He's a Belgian biologist who's explored the islands and caves of this archipelago. First off, Mr. Van Dam, put this cluster of islands on the map for us.
So Socotra is situated in the Western Indian Ocean. It's actually politically part of the country of Yemen. And it's an archipelago of one major island, which is called Socotra, and three smaller islands, which are called the Brothers, Samha and Darsa, and one to the west, which is called Abd al-Kuri. And this archipelago is actually one of four natural world heritage sites of UNESCO of the Arab world.
Yeah, and judging from some of the photos that you shared with us, which we will post online at theworld.org, there are some really unusual plants and animals in Socotra, and that, by the way, is the answer to our geo quiz. Tell us about the dragon blood tree, for instance. It's really unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yes, that's true. The dragon blood trees on Socotra have very strange, bizarre shapes. They are umbrella-shaped. They look like a big green umbrella. And this group of trees is actually called a living fossil. They were present actually in some parts of Europe even millions of years ago. They are present still on Socotra. Because they are so old and so unique, they also need a lot of protection to keep growing, actually.
And why is it called dragon blood?
It's called a dragon's blood tree because the resin from the tree, if you make a small scratch in the tree, there's a red resin that comes out and hardens. And this red resin is so deeply red that it actually looks like the color of blood. And actually, in ancient times, people used this pigment for paintings in the 16th century. And the color is so perfect for blood that people use it in ancient paintings. It's also used as a varnish. And people say that the original Stradivarius violin, which is famous, of course, the color of the violin actually is from Socotran dragon's blood varnish. So it has a role in human history. And this resin, the Socotran dragon's blood, was very coveted and was exported from Socotra, and Socotra was famous for this specific kind of product.
Now, you mentioned that preservation is something that you're trying to do. What are the issues there on Socotra, and what are you trying to do?
Okay, so preservation is very important on Socotra because not only the dragon's blood tree is unique to the place, but there are many other species of plants. For example, there's more than 300 plant species which occur on Socotra and nowhere else in the world. There's about 90% of all the reptile species, which are the snakes and the geckos, beautiful geckos, and the chameleons, which are only on Socotra. And these animals, because they live on this island alone and nowhere else in the whole world, they need protection. But the problem is that with pollution, development of roads, development of infrastructure. And so to protect this, it's very important to look at the species needs together and to increase awareness of local people and other people that visit, like tourists, for the protection and the caring of these species. To my opinion, for the future of Socotra, there should be a kind of limit to the number of tourists per year and to the number of tourists in one place in the year, because right now the tourism is concentrated mainly in the period of December to February. and because that's the time when there's no monsoons on Socotra, and that the climate is okay for people to visit.
You have mentioned that there are some rather unique caves on Socotra. Can you describe a little bit what they look like?
Well, the thing is that makes these caves very special is, first of all, they're huge, which means if you go into this cave, you have to sleep in there 2 or 3 days just to get to the end of it. It's very intense. And then stay in there with gear and dive, actually, because it has complete underground river systems. And these are quite unique ecosystems within a predominantly dry area. There's similar caves in places like Oman on the Arabian Peninsula, where you have cave fish in waterfalls, underground waterfalls, and similar things we have found in Socotra. We have not found underground fish, but we have found underground crabs and underground shrimp and underground very strange spider-like whip scorpions, they are called, and things which are unique. I've always been counted myself lucky to be part of these expeditions, to go inside and to have been the first in these places.
Kay Van Dam is a Belgian biologist and chairman of the group Friends of Socotra, trying to call attention to the specific needs of the island off the coast of Yemen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Aaron, and thank you.
We've got stunning video shot on Socotra, the Galapagos of the Middle East. You can watch it at theworld.org.